Off the Ball.
GAA. Credit to Shane, because I suppose all the talk has been about, oh, when's Shane Ryan back? And when he's back, he'll have to come straight back in. And that can't be easy to be listened to either. So, no, massive credit to Shane. He's been brilliant this year and really cemented
join
his place.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello and welcome to another LOI pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle here with you again. Lots to look forward to, and we've got a very special guest with us today in lieu of the missing Gareth McLean. Hopefully he'll be back with us next week. But before we move any further, let's have a listen to what happened last Friday night on Off the Ball.
Top of the table clash in the League of Ireland. It's second versus third here at Dalymount Park as Bohemians and St. Patrick's Athletic. Referee's going to pull it back for a free kick here for Pats, and he reaches into his back pocket, gives out the yellow card to Pat Hickey. Second yellow card of the game for Bohemians. Always give the ball straight back, and then Colin Whelan is back in to win it again. And a chance here for both to break away. Ross Tierney down this left hand side. Strods goes out on the overlap around him, and Tierney runs towards the middle and keeps going inside past Jamie Lennon. It's in towards the feet of Devoy. It's a lovely touch by, and Rob Harvey is blown for a penalty. It's Sean Hoare who was sliding in across Dawson Devoy as Devoy falls to the floor. And well, Sean Hoare is smacking the floor. Colin Whelan is going to step up and hit this penalty. Rob Harvey blows the whistle, and Whelan sends it into the bottom corner of the net, and the roars go up here around Dalymount Park as Colin Whelan has put Bohemians 1-0 up. Minute of this first half before the referee's board is up for additional time. Palmer tries to capitalise on a mistake from Hickey at the back, and Hickey fouls him, but Patrick Hickey's already on a yellow card here. And Rob Harvey's reached into his pocket, and Patrick Hickey is going to walk here 44 minutes into the game. And Hoare comes back and does well. Pass inside to Devoy. It's a floated ball towards the back post. It's fallen for Ross Tierney. He's going to get on the end of it. Dale Rooney is so, it's been kept out. Conor Parsons is going to knock it into an empty net. And Bohemians have scored a second goal out of absolutely nothing. As Rob Harvey puts the whistle to his lips and blows for full time. And Bohemians have claimed a huge scalp here as they defeat St. Patrick's Athletic for the first time at home since April 2025. They move to within 7 points of Shamrock Rovers.
They're absolutely thrilled with the players. You know, there's questions asked to these group of players all the time, and they're inconsistent, and we're this and we're that. And then I hear people question whether I'm throwing players under a bus, is another thing I heard this week. But it's a great group of players. They're really tight in there, and we stick together, and to get the rewards. There are two sides of it tonight. First half we played a bit only okay, but second half we showed real character, togetherness, all the stuff that we're not supposed to have.
I think I'd be remiss of me not to say, I think the person said that they thought you weren't thrown under the bus. Maybe you might have been, but there was a chance there.
I might throw him under the bus.
2-0 wins. How do you try and bounce back from that? Because there's nothing really like losing a Dublin derby like that.
Yeah, you know, there's a bit, you know, everyone, nobody's happy with that, that's for sure. So we have to digest that, and we're in the morning, and we just have to get back on the training ground and work hard.
Yep, delighted to say I'm joined as ever by Vinnie Pert, and one man who won't be worrying about any buses passing by him is Shane Keegan. How are you doing, Shane?
Not too bad at all, Steve, or yourself?
Yeah, all good, all good. I have to say, Shane, it's been brilliant, of course, right throughout the season. Listen to yourself and the lads on the Friday nights. LOI Late Night, which you can, of course, tune into from 10 o'clock every Friday night after the games are over. And we always get a great viewpoint from many supporters around the country, not just of the Premier Division clubs, but of the First Division clubs as well. So do tune into that. And if you don't get it on the Friday night, you can have a listen back in your podcast feed. And that's where you'll also find the LOI wrap-up with Ross Flanagan. That's out every Saturday morning, as well as our own podcast here, which I said you won't get any better coverage of the League of Ireland across the board than you do here on Off the Ball. And Vinny, look, Bows, they really did bounce back from those poor results a couple of weeks ago. Two Dublin Derby defeats in a row, and we'll have to give them their flowers. We might talk about them in a little while, though, because our big match this weekend, lads, on Friday night, It's a really, really, it's a clash I'm really looking forward to. Shane, I know you're going to be alongside me again at Talca Park. We were only there recently enough when Shells enjoyed a win against Shamrock Rovers, but they're taking on Dundalk this weekend, this Friday night. It's at Talca Park. If you tune into Off the Ball from 7 o'clock, you'll hear full live and exclusive match commentary from myself and Shane. And certainly is a match, Shane, that's whetting the appetite, I think.
Yeah, it surely is, Steve. Good omen probably for the Shells fans. That's myself and yourself again. I think we probably saw their best performance of the season a couple of weeks back when we were both covering that one. But things haven't been good since that performance, Steve. Like you'll back me up. They were excellent that night, weren't they? They really, really were. That was no fluke win over Shamrock Rovers. I thought they were so good, and you were looking for them to kick on then on the back of that and go on a real good run, and haven't won a game since then, I don't think, have they? Obviously, big changes in the dugout. I think that's going to be the most intriguing thing for them over the next couple of weeks. You'd be surprised if they rush that one. I think it could take a while, mainly because there's no obvious candidate. I don't know what Vinny thinks, but there's nobody that jumps out at me as it will probably be him. Normally we could say that when a job comes up, you're normally saying, look, it's likely to be either him or him, but I'm not sure who those front runners are at the moment. But in the interim, look, Larkin, will he be happy, will he be sad with the result on Saturday night? They would have been going there looking for three, but when you're 2-0 down, obviously you'd take the point given the circumstances. But just a bit baffling what's going on with Shells. There's so much quality there, but seem completely incapable of any form of consistency.
Yeah, like, obviously Lorcan Fitzgerald coming in there, he's one of the head coaches at the academy, takes over for that game on Saturday night against Sligo Rovers, which on the face of it was a pretty tricky looking fixture, Vinny, based on what we saw from Sligo Rovers the previous week against St. Patrick's Athletic. And when Sligo went 2-0 up, I was thinking, whoa, this is... it's going to be a bad night for Shells, but geez, they show character, and especially Paddy Barrett coming up with that equaliser in added time. I'd imagine Lorcan Fitzgerald is happy with this. Do you think he was expecting to be going into a second match in charge of the team, the senior team?
I suppose only he knows, in the sense of I'm sure he got good communication from the club. But there's no doubt this was a quick decision that was made. I think... the result against Bowles was obviously the final straw for the owners. And I mean, we discussed it last year. Generally, the league has been fair enough to managers, I would say, over the last 2 years. A lot of managers have had a lot of, you know, bad runs and hasn't resulted in losing their job. There's been only a few casualties over the last couple of years. And it's not nice to talk about casualties, but part of management, Shane will tell you, is inevitably almost 99.9999% of managers get the sack eventually at some stage in their career. But the one thing I did say is I felt the one person this season who has a little bit of leeway in my mind was Joey, because of how deep Shells went into Europe last year. And I know Shamrock Rovers had but they've had experience with it. And it's so difficult to go to December with a side and then basically have no pre-season, and as a result you pick up a lot of injuries and players come down from that high of that European run they had. So I think Joey had, to be fair, some excuses, but ultimately the club, and whether we like it or not, as coaches, as managers, whatever, supporters, they're the ones that have every right to make these decisions. And they obviously feel that the inconsistencies of Shells, and they feel they need someone else to progress them in Europe to win a couple of rounds, so important to League of Ireland clubs. They feel they need to make the change, and there's pros and cons on both sides of that argument in terms of Joey staying or them making a change. So that's the nature of the beast of football. It's so cruel, and it is what it is.
Is it surprising then that Joey was relieved of his duty, Shane, without seemingly being a replacement all ready to go? That would seem to be the case a lot of the times you see with professional clubs, that they're kind of almost, you know, the next manager is named within days. Is it dragging out, or am I being a bit unfair there maybe? Like, it is only, I suppose, just over, well, less than a week maybe since we heard about the Joey O'Brien, about him being let go with the club.
Yeah, it strikes me as the kind of conversation where the conclusion wasn't decided before the conversation was had, if you get me, in the sense that I think Joey and the ownership had a conversation, and I think it just blew up, and I think out of nowhere then a decision was kind of almost made on the spot. Look, when you're going through Vinny's highlighted it there, you know, when you come under pressure, the importance of your relationship with the powers that be higher up is crucial, because sometimes that relationship isn't good and that makes them trigger happy. Other times it's rock solid and it buys you a bit of time. And it's amazing the turnaround you can get sometimes, Steve, when you have that bit of time. You know, like, again, not to go way back on it, I'm sure Rovers fans are sick of hearing it, but, you know, there was a time when Stephen Bradley could have been moved on. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, handled that relationship with the powers that be at Rovers very well, and they backed them. And now look, you know, the rest is history. I don't know whether there was knives out for Joey and they were waiting for an opportunity to pull the trigger on him, or whether it just all blew up in one conversation. It's hard to know, but like Vinny said, I find it hard to believe that there was any plan in this. Normally, look, I would say probably both myself and Vinny maybe have had experience in the past of both sides of the coin. Sometimes you are the manager in a role while other managers are being sounded out to take over from you. And sometimes you are the manager who is being sounded out to take over from a manager who's in a role. That's how it works, you know. And people mightn't think that's right, or they might think it's right or might think it's wrong, but that's real life. That's how it works. But I don't think that was the case. Well, I think clearly that wasn't the case this time round. I don't think it has been a case that you know, they saw Joey as somebody they might move on and that they had started having conversations. I think this just blew up, decision was taken, and now we need to start from scratch and try and find ourselves a new manager.
The only thing on that, Shane and Steve, is people use the Bradley reference as to say, well, you need to give managers time. Like, if Stephen had been sacked, I don't think he would have had loads of complaints at that stage. If Rovers decided to go down a different path. But just because it worked there doesn't mean it's always the right thing to do as well. To be fair to owners and give them the juice, there's times where that change is just needed, and it's a fresh voice needed, and so just the club to go down a different path. So just leaving a manager forever and a day doesn't necessarily always work either. Sometimes we've seen the knee-jerk reaction work, Steve.
Where has the knee-jerk reaction worked?
We've seen it in at different stages. We're not seeing it in early overly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, look at St. Pat's, look at Waterford. Do you know what I mean? Would you say it's worked for either of those clubs, change a manager? Pats have gone through a few over the last few seasons.
No, but Pats is a great example, Steve. Obviously, the owner and the people in the club weren't happy with who they had. And it wasn't a great chemistry and it wasn't working. And the whole circle wasn't rounded in that football club. And they obviously feel now, because to be fair to John Daly and in particular to Tim Clancy, in many ways, both of them had different results, or certainly didn't have the bad run of games that Stephen Kenny has had. But there's no sound coming out to Stephen's about to lose his job the way he did. So ultimately, Pat's feel they've got the right man and the right everything working together. And that's the difference where, to be fair, like Tim's record, for example, at Pat's is really good. What was really good. But they didn't feel... Potentially, I'm not speaking for them, but it didn't feel like I'd probably felt we can't win a league with this guy, or you know what I mean? They just felt it was a little bit short, and therefore they've made the change. That one didn't work, and then they made it another change. And it's there's so many times where a team remember, use myself as an example. I was deemed not good enough. Grand. 2 months later, Dundalk were playing the group stage of the Europa League. If I'd have stayed, I don't think he would have got there. Mm. Even though the draw was favourable, etc., etc. I just think it needed a fresh voice. Mm. So you have to accept that sometimes. And it doesn't... It's almost easier to be sympathetic to the guy that's lost the job. But the reality of it is, sometimes it just needs a change and a change of voice. And Chel's a good example of it. I don't know who's going to get that job, but my only advice to whoever gets the job is you've got to go in there between now and the end of the season and lift the spirits of that football club and of the players and wrap your arms around them and hug them and tell them they're great and tell them they're brilliant and tell them let's go on a journey between now and the end of the season and let's enjoy Europe and let's express ourselves and let's be brilliant. And sometimes Joey and Damien before that, what they done for that football club should never, ever, ever be forgotten. They dragged Chelsea to win a league title from nowhere. It is a remarkable achievement what Duffer and Joey done. But maybe, in fairness to the club, maybe they might need someone else to come in that's actually the opposite of them on a short term and comes in and says, you know, Harry Woodruff, brilliant. He's been playing well. Jarvis, you're brilliant. Boydie, you're brilliant. You know, get all of these really exceptional footballers and give them a freedom to go and express themselves. And maybe that's what the owners have seen. And it's hard to argue with that because they may do really well in Europe if the right man goes in. I think the biggest mistake Shells would make, and we'll finish on this point, is to bring in a Torian, like a figure who comes in and just start shouting and roaring and bulking their players. Because they probably had, although they were needed, they probably had one too many meetings for that group. And it's time now to just let them express themselves. In my view. I don't know what Shane thinks of that.
Yeah, and look, I threw Pat's in there, and look, we don't know how their season's going to go with Stephen Kenny, but, you know, there was a lot of Pat's fans who were being maybe critical at certain points during his tenure, but look, could all come good this season, we don't know. But I said it was just one of those kind of examples that I thought of quickly alongside Waterford. Listen, let's quickly mention, you know, the possible candidates for Shells. Like, one is attached, one name I've seen being thrown around, that's Kevin Doherty, of course, a man who's got a great history with the club, but he's with Drogheda United, and, you know, he's had a long time at Drogheda United. He loves the club, he loves the players, the squad, everything there. So I don't even know if that's a viable option. Like, who else is there? Former managers, or is it going to be a case of looking abroad? Like Keith Long's done in a job, and if there's a man who knows how to motivate a squad, Keith Long certainly knows how to do it. I don't know if he wants to get back into managing, but what's your thoughts on the names that have been mentioned, if you've heard of any at all? Shane, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's obvious that Kev's name is going to be linked with it, that's for sure. Like, He's done an outstanding job. Done an outstanding job at Drogheda, no doubt about it. He's going to get linked with positions as they come up. That's for sure. I think he turned down an official approach, didn't he, from Cork City a couple of years back. That could have been as much to do with geography maybe as anything else. You know, his head. Let's be honest, his head would have to be turned by the Shell's role. You know, there's very little between the sides at the moment in the table, but when you look at ceilings as the potential to where clubs could go, Kev has always operated off a tight budget. Drogheda haven't made any secret of that. He has been punching above his weight for a couple of seasons. Is there a higher ceiling with the likes of a Shelburne? Sure there is. Of course there is. I'm sure Drogheda won't appreciate me for saying that, but yet, if they're honest with themselves, they would know that is the case too. But I don't know. What are Shells looking for in their next manager? You know, is it a style of play? Is it a particular playing philosophy? Is it just somebody who can get results? I think that's key to it all. We've heard Stephen Rice's name been bounced around a bit as well, I think, haven't we? You know, some people would be looking at that and going, well, you know, he's operating in the Premier League in England. He would be mad to go from that level back to the League of Ireland. But, you know, Steve,
It's also a risk, someone like Stephen Rice, because he hasn't, you know, been a senior manager.
Yeah. No, there certainly is. Look, the only thing I'd say there, Steve, is there's the same level of risk as there was with Keith Andrews.
Yeah.
And my God, look at how, now listen, he had coaching experience and all of that with the international side, fair enough. But to be fair, Stephen has had a fair bit of coaching experience, that's for sure. I remember Stephen taking Dublin DDSL teams at the Kennedy Cup, you know, years back. He's served his apprenticeship, that's for sure. From operating at that level right up through Irish international squads and that. So I don't think he'd be found wanting. He is a guy I find, you know, really intriguing. I would have spoke to him a bit around his pro license thesis and all of that kind of stuff as well. Absolutely meticulous in his preparation. And I don't think it is ridiculous to think that a guy might walk away from a Premier Division gig, because when you're not the main man, there is often an itch to be the main man and to stand on your own two feet and to put your own ideas into action. And Shelburne, and to go back on the point that Vinny made in relation to Duffer and to Joey, I mean, Shelburne going to the market now looking for a manager is a million miles away from the Shelburne that went to the market when Duff was brought in. They're a completely different club with completely different setup and prospects. They're a huge job now. They weren't actually a huge job when Damien came in, really. They are a huge job now. Like, if you were talking, you know, one of the best gigs in the country, it's right up there. So I do think there would be a temptation if there has been any formal contact with Stephen. Outside of those two, yeah, Keith is an interesting one. I mean, like, the job he did at Bowes, I still think it's a little bit underestimated by some, probably not by the hardcore at Bowes who saw a lot worse times before him. But he did do a phenomenal job there, Steve, there's no doubt about it. Interesting, I think I saw his name. Did I see his name recently on the panel that the FAI released? That had been approved for the academy director roles.
Yeah.
So he's obviously, you know, there are very few long term gigs in Irish football, and to be fair, those academy director roles do present that as an option. But while he might be looking at that, at something like that, and going, I like the look of that. That's something safe. That's something, that's a gig I can be in for the next 10, 15 years and make a real difference. That's all well and good. And then the next thing, the phone rings and it's Luke Byrne and he wants to talk about you taking over at Shells. Mm. Again, if your head wasn't turned again there, you know?
Yeah. Look, they're going to have to get it sorted out, I think, soon, Vinny, because being in limbo like this won't help. And I think it's something maybe Kieran Kilduff will be feeling that his Dundalk side can thrive on, despite some of the murmurings we're hearing from Oriel Park with regard to player departures. Might touch on those in a moment, but I think Kilduff will be going to Talca Park thinking, I want a response from my team after that really desperate defeat against Waterford, 2-0 up, losing by 3-2 against the bottom side at home. Like, they showed a few weaknesses there the other night, poor defending set pieces, and letting the lead slip away. But you're thinking this might be, he might be feeling this is the perfect game for us to take on, going to a rowdy Talca Park and with an inexperienced man on the touchline?
Yeah, can often work the other way. Just really quickly on Stephen Rice, we both were on the same paths as Stephen in many ways, saying, I'll tell you, I wouldn't leave Brentford to go to Shells. I don't think you would at the level he's at. I think people to the kind of 5 hours or something. To be fair to Shells, nothing has really leaked out of the club. It's a close-knit club. Not the ownership there accepts them at what they do behind the scenes. So I'd just be amazed that Rice came away from work. And he's on the bench in the Premiership every single week. To come away from that, ooh, I'm not so sure. But anyway, in terms of Dundalk, look, it was always inevitable that people looked at, particularly Urubi. I think he's very well suited to English football at the level I think he'd find himself at, whether that's League One, League Two. And then if he does his business there, there's a potential championship player for someone so young. Why? Physically strong, clever in the box, can score goals, can lead the line, isn't afraid of hard work, and well, sometimes in Ireland we think League One, League Two is kicking rush, but you still need to be able to go to the well and compete and scrap as well at that level. And he played 48 games in feels like 30 weeks. God loved him. And he has that robustness to play at that level. And once you get into the sort of inner circle over there, who knows where you'll end up. You know, we've seen so many Roy Rover stories over there. So I think it's inevitable that clubs would be interested in whether the Dock decide to do a deal and his contract and all of that stuff. And young on Kenny, I mean, for someone so young, it's inevitable as well that there'd be huge interest in him. So
have you, like, is there any kind of, you know, I've heard, seen a couple of murmurings about Owen Kenny. Like, have you heard anything about possible interest in him across the water as well as Arubi?
Yeah, I think there's interest in him as well. Yeah, I think there is. And how definite that and how Dundalk are protected. He's obviously come up through the academy system at Dundalk, so he will be protected and there will be big enough fees associated with something like that.
Yeah, he signed a contract in January, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's not just that. There's development money there as well that would have to be paid out. So some sort of deal would have to be done. I think we have to accept that a young player, if clubs in League One or League Two or even Championship, call it, they want particularly the young ones, because they're not getting the opportunity. And Owen's a late developer. I mean, he wasn't on many people's radars at 14, 15, even 16. He's a late developer, so he'd want a little bit of, and you can see why players want to chase that and get on that merry-go-round of English football. Because, as I said, you're one good season away from being life-changing. So the concern for Dundalk is, in one sense, not this Friday. It's try and hold on to them. And if not, what happens next? Because, to be fair, when they lost their goalkeeper at the start of the season, we all thought they're going to be in huge trouble. They didn't, in terms of they weren't in trouble. End of August, done brilliant for them. But I think replacing Arubi and Hor and Kenny, and the way the three of them play together with Horgan, is a real hammer blow for that squad. And whatever chance you have of getting in Europe, I think they have a real chance. If they hold on to them, I think the chances are really limited if they don't hold on to them. So huge couple of weeks coming up for them.
Do we think they can... Shane, think they can, whatever, if the European chances are affected by possible departure of both of those players? And, like, listening to Kilduff's comments on Arubi, it sounds like he is resigned to possibly losing him in this window and having to get a replacement. But do you think they're okay for staying up now at this stage? Have they earned enough points, do you think, now to kind of not to be worrying about the bottom two? Certainly not the bottom place, but that second from bottom place.
Shane. It's mad. Sorry, Shane, before you answer that, isn't it mad that you're even asking that question, Steve-O? Because they're 2 or 3 points away from third, or maybe 4 points away from second, is it? But you still have to ask that question, because this league is so mad, and losing two big players would be catastrophic for a club like Dundalk, wouldn't it, Shane?
Yeah, they're 35 points, they're 15 clear of Sligo Rovers, so, like, I don't think it is something they need to worry about. But it's just interesting, you know, with those two players going, if those two players were to go.
Yeah, Steve-O, we come back to us. Do you know what's interesting is, what's the mindset of Dundalk and people in Dundalk? Is it chase Europe? And is it make a brave decision and hold on to Arubi and Kenny, sometimes maybe against their wishes? I'm not suggesting this. That'll be fascinating, because the reward for Irish clubs, and we've seen even the draws for this year for our clubs, a lot of them are winnable in the first round or two, and the prize money is really serious once you win a round or two. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, that's Shells Dundalk. It's in Talca Park on Friday night, and it's kicking off at 8 o'clock. We'll be there from 7 on Off the Ball. You can hear live and exclusive match commentary with myself alongside Shane. Shane, have you got your mic back up, or can we hear you now?
Not any better, Steve.
Ah, it is indeed. Yeah, we've got you there loud and clear. So, listen, that's that game. What else have we got this weekend? And, of course, well, the other match I kind of thought was interesting this weekend, Shells Dundalk, as I said, is our main one. Sean Boyd of Shells, possibly on the way out. Like, we're hearing talk maybe of him going to Drogheda United. They're playing against Bohemians at this weekend. Sean Boyd going to Drogheda United. What are you thinking about that one, Shane? Like, it does seem like Shells are happy enough to let him go at this stage. Could he be the man to kind of turn around their form at the moment? Because they haven't won in a long, long time, back in the 8th of May.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of moving parts there, Steve-O. So you say Shells happy enough for him to go. Well, by what do we mean by Shells? Do we mean the ownership, or do we mean the previous manager, or do we mean the current caretaker manager, or do we mean the future manager? There's a lot of moving parts there. A new manager could be appointed, and the new manager could decide to build the team around Sean Boyd as the centre forward man. But and then, yeah, where does he go? Drogheda, I can see how that would make sense. I could see how he'd fit into that system. Listen, we've just spoken about Dundalk. We've just spoken about them potentially losing a Ruby. You know, if they were to lose a Ruby, would they look at a Sean Boyd and say, actually, hold on, we need to get in the race here. He is a big, strong physical presence who could give us some of the qualities that we had with a Ruby. So they could come in if Shells were in a position that they were looking to move him on. But I would think I would be amazed if Shelburne did anything until their new man was found. Like I say, you know, imagine you let Sean Boyd go, and the next thing your new manager goes, lads, what were you thinking? Like, he's exactly what I want in my number nine. So I think they have to sit tight with him and let the new man in and decide what he wants there first. And then if he gives the go ahead, I would be very surprised if Dundalk didn't try and come into the equation there if Ruby moved on. Definitely. I think he's the sort of guy who I don't know if any ever looked at him. I looked at him. I spoke to him when I was at Galway United about coming across. He wasn't long after kind of making a name for himself, breaking through as a young fella at Shamrock Rovers at the time, and had maybe then slipped down the pecking order a little bit and wasn't getting as many minutes as he would have liked. Like, he's definitely going to appeal to a lot of managers. He has such a presence about him. You know, maybe the decision making, clinicalness are the things that could be improved, but a good coach, a good manager would fancy getting their hands on him and taking him to put it this way, he's capable, I think, of a level that we haven't quite seen of him yet. And I think a good manager who, you know, with faith in themselves, would look at him as a project and go, yeah, I can really, really get this guy motoring. So he will appeal to a few clubs if Shells decide to let him off.
Yeah, Finney, just on Drogheda, no wins in their last 7 matches, and it doesn't look good at the moment. Going to be hosting Bohemians, who've had a decent record over the last couple of games against Drogheda. Drogheda 22 points. They're just 2 above Sligo in the you're in the second from bottom position. So Kevin Doherty is going to need to turn it around.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you always give me the ones you throw me under the bus with these questions, Drogheda. But do you know what? What happens so often is the last couple of seasons, they were so good at what they'd done, and they had a particular way of playing, and you can't get away from that. They had a style and a structure, and it just feels like the back three you played and come away from, and that was so synonymous as what they'd done in terms of the way set pieces, second, it wasn't necessarily the force crossing, the way they kept stuff alive, and they've just come off a little bit for whatever reason. Mark Doyle has been a huge addition to them, but probably hasn't hit the heights yet that he's capable of, I think. So it feels like they've got the firepower, but I'd be really concerned if I was a Drogheda fan, particularly with Waterford are doing. Would I be shocked if they were in the playoff or actually relegated? No, I wouldn't be, actually. And actually losing their manager would be a catalyst for the wheels coming off a little bit there. So as a club, I think it's important you try and hold on to the manager who I presume was under contract and he can't keep someone who doesn't want to stay. But yeah, they're in a difficult, difficult situation. But got a lot of experienced player, Stan Farrell, Ryan Brennan in midfield, you know, as I said, Mark Doyle, Brandon, Kevin, Conor Key, yeah. You know, they're not shy about people who know what's done. Conor Kane knows how to get over the line. They just lost something a little bit this year. Yes, the set piece is part of it, and defensively as well. But I think last year, both of the fullbacks were exceptional. Conor Kane, and I'm just trying to think who was the right wing back throughout last season.
I've had a blank myself here, Vinny.
Isua, was it Isua?
Oh, Isua, sorry, no. Genoa Isua.
No, it's gone. They were really good in both wing back positions last year, year and a half as well, and it was sort of went under the radar, the job they done. So from that end of things, you just need to a couple of wins and wins.
I had a complete brain fart there myself. It was Lamb.
Yeah, Lamb. Yeah, I think Lamb was one of the most underrated players in the league last year. Mm. He was almost the best right back stroke wing back in the league. And him and Conor Kane just bombed forward and was brilliant to see. And he had the platform with the three and the sitters in midfield. They've just, because of different bits and pieces, they've just come away from that. Lamb has obviously picked up an injury and they've just tried a few different things. But such an important couple of weeks coming up for Drogheda, because you know when the momentum goes against you, they've had a lot of momentum for 2 years. When it starts going the other way, it's so hard to plug that leaky.
Yeah,
we've
got to nip through the last few fixtures. Just quickly on Bohemians, Shane, we just discussed them a lot last week, and I'll tell you one thing, they certainly have bounced back from that disappointing, the 3-0 defeat there a couple of weeks ago against Shelburne, Bohemians 2-1 defeat to Dundalk, and before that the 4-1 defeat to Derry City, went on then to beat Shells 3-0 and then Pats 2-0. Two Dublin Derby back-to-back wins. Has Rennie silenced the critics now with those two results, Shane, do you think?
I'm not sure he has until his next defeat, Steve-O. It's been such a season of ups and downs for him, hasn't it? Like at times they just don't seem to do run of the mill kind of runs of games. It's either we're winning three in a row and everything is rosy, or we're losing three in a row and everybody's calling for his head. There seems to be no middle ground with them, but they are certainly two fantastic back to back victories, and I think they managed the situation really well last Friday night. Let's be honest, Pats didn't have a whole lot of clear-cut chances, even though they were down to 10 men. I thought they managed the situation superbly. I think Rossi is key to everything with them. When he is on it, they look a different side. Whereas, you know, it's only a few weeks back since he was he going to be on the bench? Yeah, he was on the bench for a game and got brought on, and I think might have walked away with the Man of the Match award, even though he only came on as a sub at halftime or something like that, wasn't it? And look, obviously, the reason he was dropped is because he hadn't been flying at that stage, but he's back. He's back producing the kind of performances at the moment that we expect and know from him. And when he's on it, as I say, they just look a completely different side. Colin Whelan back in form for them as well. I wouldn't say it's all water under the bridge. Look, I don't know what sort of you tell me you're one of them. I don't know what sort of relationship Bones fans have with Rennie. It just seems, I know the results lend to it being a bit more volatile, but I think it would just be volatile anyway. I think they like hopping off each other. I get that sense from them, Steve-O.
I honestly don't know, Shane, because I know there is a core of Bohemian supporters who just don't seem to be willing to get on board with Alan Reynolds. God knows, Vinny will tell you, I've defended him quite a lot on the podcast over the last few months, whatever good that's done me. But I just think there has always been signs there that there's a really good football team there. Look, Vinny has his own views, which he has mentioned a couple of times on the podcast. So look, we will see more from Bohemians this Friday night away to Drogheda United. Derry City hosting Waterford. Waterford, who got that brilliant win. Vinny, we said last week that that was a match they'd fancy at Oriel Park. It was a brilliant win to come back from 2-0 down. A couple of things I thought about the performance, just the set pieces. He's found a long throw marching in John Mahon, and it does seem to be working for them. It's paying dividends, and they've got character, they've got fight. He said himself after the game at Oriel Park that he's got subs in who maybe not starting games, they're in training on days off, and he admitted, he said, look, they don't like me at the moment, but it all seems to be working from at the moment for Graham Coughlan.
Yeah, and it's copy and paste from what we expected. It's what I expected from Graham's teams. It's you look at the where he operated in English football and how he's had to get results before, so he's capable of getting Waterford out of it. I've always said that. I felt it was probably a little bit too much to do, but you know, I think if Waterford won two of the next four matches, they catch one of the teams. I think they catch one of them. I feel so, and they're capable of doing that. Look, Tommy Lonergan is starting to find a lot of form over the last while. He's playing a lot of football. He's getting really fit and actually stronger, I would say. That's the one thing I've noticed when I've seen him live. Hammond is Podge is Podge, like, isn't he? He's always going to be very experienced, lead the Lions. He's clever. He doesn't look as old as he is on the pitch, so that's great. And he knows where the back of the net is. So their biggest challenge is being defensively set up. John Mann, I think, is suited to their pitch down there. There's a lot to like about them. Kevin Long has come in. Hayden Khan is doing really well for them. And when you get a winner, like John Mann's goal late in the game, when you get a winner that late, particularly away from home, then I tell you, it was wonders for the group. The bus journey alone is better than any training session you do at home. They're probably 2 hours from Dundalk to Waterford, down the M1, back up the M50 and straight back down the M7, is it? It is a hell of a great journey, and that alone will bring them together on the journey they have over the next few weeks. He's done a brilliant job to give them a chance. Still a long shot. If I was involved with any club from Galway down, I'd really fear Waterford at the moment.
Yeah. Well, they're going up to Derry City. Just quickly on them, Jane. Look, I only watched the highlights of their win against Drogheda United. Just thought that that little triangle in the middle of the pitch, you had O'Reilly playing just behind Ollie Inke and Boyce. And it just looks like a nice little combination there. Obviously, they're missing James Clark through injury, but O'Reilly looked to have a sensational game. He got a goal, and he's a player I really like. We've brought it up in the podcast last year. He just felt like he just needed to add goals to his games, but like he seems to be in really, really good form for them. And I'd imagine he's buzzing to get out again on that beautiful looking pitch up at the Brandywell as well. I don't know if Shane
It's hard to have any great faith in Derry, isn't it? Every time they appear to have turned the corner and you start to get behind them making improvements, it just seems to dissipate again just as quickly. But for me, the one, and listen, Vinny is better positioned than anybody to talk about. For me, the one is Cameron Dunnigan. I mean, Cameron is an outstanding footballer. Has had more than his fair share of injury problems over the last couple of seasons, unfortunately. But he's as tidy a technical player as is in the league, Steve-O. And when he is in that Derry team, I have a lot more faith in them being able to take points and win games. It also helps that he's scored not one but two absolute screamers in the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't have known he had that in his locker as much and all as I praise his technical ability, but he's look, he's again, as I say, Vinny will back it up. I'm sure he's a manager's dream in the sense that he's low maintenance, high output. He's just a real laid back sort of a fella, and you know, no fuss. You know, can go in and do a job at right back when you want him there. But for me, centre mid is his best position all day. He's like one of these kind of robot players, as I say, that's a manager's dream. Whatever instructions you input in is what he delivers on the pitch. And look, as you said, we have Late Night League of Ireland there every Friday night, and we get a few Derry callers, and it's great to hear them saying very similar to what I've said there, that he has been the difference in recent weeks. And from their point of view, they'll just be hoping he can continue to be the difference.
Do you know what about Cammy is that needs to be said? I mean, he was involved with Burnley and was very highly regarded in around the 14. He may have made his debut at different stages. The thing about Cammy is he's actually, Shane touched on it, he's a manager's dream, and in one sense it's probably the thing that holds him back a little bit in terms of his career. He's had a good career. He could have had an outstanding career. He can play six, he can play centre-half or right-back. He scores goals from everywhere. He's a wand of a right foot. We normally said about left-footers, but really good understanding of the game. Not an ounce of hassle. Has had a couple of injuries of late. His biggest challenge is, as I said, the 6 inches between his ears for Cammy is a little bit where, you know, sometimes you get players who, of Cammy's quality, should actually be more argumentative. He should actually demand to play a little bit more. He should demand of others around him a little bit more. But forget that. He's a hell of a good footballer. He is one of the best players in our league. And I think, was it 2 years ago? Almost should have got player of the year. It wasn't last year because he missed most of that. But 2 years ago, he was outstanding for Derry. And to be fair, I never really used him as a six. The odd time he used him at centre half and a little bit of right back. I think it might have been Higgins that spotted the number six in him. But what a footballer, what a bloke as well, from a great family of Belfast. Brilliant fella.
Listen, unfortunately we will have to wrap it up there, lads. A little bit more limited on our time in studio this week, but St. Pat's and Galway fans, we will put a bit more focus on your teams on next week's LOI pod here on Off the Ball. Thanks a million for listening. Don't forget LOI Late Night, 10 o'clock with Shane and the lads on Friday evening after the games. We've got live exclusive commentary, Shelburne against Dundalk. It'll be myself and Shane on duty at Talca Park, and then LOI wrap up from Saturday morning. All of those into your podcast feed. Don't forget to have a look for them. We'll chat to you next week.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.